All right. Good afternoon. As we'll see some folks trickle in on here in a little while. Got some things to talk about here today with you on this Tuesday afternoon. And hope you're doing well this Tuesday afternoon. I'll give you some time to get on here. And hope you're all doing well. And hello, Dr. Murphy. I hope you're doing all right. We'll talk about a few of these things here today in a few minutes. We just had like the best first warm day in a long time here. So I went biking for the first time this season, and man, oh man, oh man, oh man. I went 15 miles and I feel like my legs are like spaghetti right now. I like to do like, 15 to 20 miles. So I want to do that every day, get back into shape and everything. All right, good, redeemed in Christ. Glad you're praying for us. I appreciate it. I could use all the prayers I can get. And so could our church. So we're thankful and grateful for those. Kristen, hope you're doing better. We're praying for you and Garrett and the little ones and the little one in your tummy. So hope everything's going well there with you and you're getting better. So we look forward to that. Unfortunately, I haven't figured out how to shut these stupid notifications off, so sometimes they come up. Yep. Yeah. I've been lifting weights all winter, but I haven't been able to do a lot of cardio. I hate leaving the gym with sweat, man, and it's stinking 40 below outside in Minnesota. So anyway, hi, Pastor Cooley. How are you really? I'm doing good. I'm good. I'm praising the Lord. I'm doing well. But besides just getting back from a bike ride that worked me good, I'm doing pretty good. So praising the Lord for everything. God's been good to me. So I got a lot to thank God for. Good morning. Wherever you are, it's morning. Okay. Good. All right. We're getting some folks on here. We'll get started here in a few minutes. Got some things to cover here today with you. Hope you can hear me okay. I should put this a little closer, maybe. I guess it's probably okay. Usually it's not a problem for anybody to hear me. I'm pretty loud, so it's 80 degrees. Jim Wilford, alias Jimmy Neutron. That's Jim's secret name. It's my secret nickname for Jim. Now you all know the secret code, the secret nickname for Jim. Jimmy Neutron. And all you have to do is Google picture of Jimmy Neutron and a picture of Jim, and you never see those two in the same place. And if you date the age of Jimmy Neutron to the age of Jim Wilford, you will find out that they're the same age. And that will leave you something to think about. That's right. Jimmy Neutron, aka Jim Wilford, exposed. Anyway, but yeah, I know it's funny, isn't it? Yes, Jacob Yates, he has better hair than you. Carl Winters is here. All right, good. We're getting everybody on here. And Jim, I'm glad it's 80 degrees there. I just went for a 15-mile bike ride. Been listening for a long while now. Praise Christ for the hard preaching. Don't have that here. Thank you. Well, Peter, I want to come to England maybe next year on a Baptist history tour and stay in touch with me. I'd like to meet you. England's a big place, I know, but maybe I could meet you somewhere. That'd be all right with me. Just to say hi. I'd love to meet some of the brethren over there that listen to us. We have quite a few people that listen. England, the UK, we have a lot of people that listen in the UK. We have a lot of people that listen in California. We have a lot of people that listen in Canada. California is like another country to me. But a lot of people listen in Canada. Okay, good. You discovered us talking to pre-flood topics. Okay, good. Dr. Murphy, that's good. I'm glad. Joshua is live from Mobile Command to block the spammers that come in and try to put perverted stuff on the page. Thank the Lord. But perfect timing. Kids went down for the nap. All right, good. Well, I know I'm rambling a little bit, but I'll actually get to some substance here in a few minutes. Would be great if you came to Europe, brother. Let me know, says Carl. You come to Germany or somewhere around here. Man, I don't know how. I don't know where I'll end up going. Over there, wherever that Baptist history tour goes. But God bless you too, Carol. You know, somewhere over there, I'd love to. Sure. Just, I don't know how to, I think I've seen WhatsApp before. I think people over in outside of America use WhatsApp. I don't think we use that here much, but some people probably do, but we'll figure it out how to use it and maybe get in touch with you all there. And hey, I would love to meet anybody over there. I would be blessed. Man, I'd like to see if I could preach over there. Y'all have to pray for me that I don't go to jail over there. But I wouldn't mind preaching over there. Well, that'd be interesting, wouldn't it? British Museum is the best. Look, I would love to go to... I love museums, Dr. Murphy. I love museums, okay? I absolutely love... My kids, when we go on vacation, we take them to museums. My children are young. They love to read. They love to go to museums. They love to learn. They love to soak it all up. They don't sit around and play games all day and stuff like that. I mean, they have their time of play and everything, but they don't feast on that stuff. They like to read and study and learn. And wherever I go, we check out the museums and everything else. We love that stuff. I absolutely love that. So I look forward to doing that. What's the best way to get our church out of 501c3? Well, that's a loaded question. I could answer that for you. But I would have to know some of the details of the way you were organized, the way that you, the paperwork that was signed. There's a lot of things that go into that. Okay. So I couldn't really answer that without looking at the actual paperwork. I would have to see that to see how you're organized and everything else like that. Hey, God bless you, Brad Johnson. Hope you're doing well. Jason and Ashley Shaw. How'd you hear about us? I don't think I've recognized you on here before, but I'm glad you're here. You know, so anyway, I would help you if you want to email me at pastorcooley@icloud.com, Lori, about that. I mean, I could help you answer a few questions about it, but without actually visually seeing the paperwork, it's not like a cookie cutter one, you know, simple ABC thing. There's a little bit more to it than that. So, you know, I met Harry once at a Baptist church I go to here. Are you talking about the Hari that visited me? Is that the Hari you're talking about? I know Hari. He was lost when he came here. He got saved right after that. And I hear he's getting married. And he said that he'd meet me over there too if I came over there. So I'd like to meet him. I'm sorry. Maybe I haven't seen you guys on there. I don't remember everybody's name, so... Ah, that Harry, huh? I know Hari. I call him Hari. Boy, he was an interesting fellow. Or maybe you call him Chaps over there. I don't know what you call him, but anyway. I did say y'all. Jim, did you hear that? That was for you, Jim. That was for you. Remember, Jim, I still have a Southern heart. Even though, don't leave your U.S. Forks, come to Cleveland, Ohio on the east side. We need street preachers. The east side of Cleveland? Hey, I'm going to come through there in November, possibly. Maybe. I better not tell. There might be secret forces out there to try to stop me. I'm not very worried about it. I have a lot of enemies, but I have a lot of protection from my Father in heaven. All right. Well, anyway, let's get started here. We're going to get into some things here. First, I want to start with this article here because I thought it was interesting. And I'm not saying that I concur with all of everything that they said about this, but I do find it interesting that what they found. This is an article on sermonaudio.com that they posted, they linked to, mind-blowing evidence of Moses' journey from Egypt to Saudi Arabia revealed. Now, I think this is interesting. I wonder sometimes, and you can all wonder with me, maybe you don't have facial hair, especially you ladies, but you can wonder with me, if all of these sites that Rome puts their statues, their buildings, and everything on, maybe possibly those are a joke. Yeah. And they're not actually the real sites. Because I think that's actually possible. Okay? You know? I think that's actually possible. So this article, I find it very interesting here. Despite a majority of researchers questioning the accuracy of the Book of Exodus, some believe that the Jews' flight from Egypt did indeed take place, and that new evidence of this is poised to seriously shift the frame of discussion. Researchers from the Doubting Thomas Research Foundation, which investigate the historical evidence of biblical accounts, all right, biblical accounts, say they may have found the route to the Promised Land taken by the Israelites under Moses' leadership. Filmmaker Ryan Morrow of the DTRF had made 3 trips to Saudi Arabia, which he says was part of a Moses route. What I find there was simply mind-blowing. I couldn't believe that there was all this evidence for the Exodus and hardly anyone outside this region was aware of it, he told the Daily Star. The Book of Exodus, the second book of the Old Testament, and the Torah provides an account of the departure of the Jews from slavery in Egypt and their journey through the wilderness, according to the biblical narrative. The Israelites fled the Egyptian army when Moses parted the Red Sea. We know the biblical narrative. The location of the biblical Mount Sinai is traditionally associated with Egypt's Sinai Peninsula, near the foot of the mountain. St. Catherine's Monastery was built over what's traditionally believed to be the site of the burning bush from which God first revealed himself to Moses. Ryan Morrow believes, however, that the real Mount of Sinai is located over 100 miles eastwards across the Gulf of Aqaba, which separates the Sinai Peninsula with Saudi Arabia. After 3 trips to Saudi Arabia, I'm fully convinced that the Israelites went into Egypt land of Midian when they fled slavery in Egypt. He also says there's evidence that Moses led his people across the Gulf of Aqaba from what is now the coastal town of Nuweiba in the east of Sinai Peninsula, where the crossing would just be nearly 8 miles wide with a shallow depth of 33 meters. It's going to take some time to bring the alternative theory into mainstream historiography, he says, but I believe that our work is going to seriously shift the landscape of this subject. The mainstream scholarly consensus is that there is no archaeological evidence for the Exodus and that the Bible represents the reflections of the Jewish people other than their origins rather than details of specific moments in history. Now, I'm not going to read any more of that because my point is not to like that I'm supporting that article. But here's the thing. Here's what I want you to think about with this. Okay, so now what we have is we've got people digging in there, digging into history, okay, and kind of looking around to see some things, which I think is fascinating. Now, there is a new movie coming that's out now, a new documentary out now, and Answers in Genesis is selling it. I'm going to order it. It's $14.99. I'm going to order it today. I wish they had it on digital download. They don't have it yet. Because then I'd have it right away. I'd like to see it tonight. I saw the first one, Patterns of Evidence, The Exodus. This new one is called Patterns of Evidence, Moses. Because there's all these skeptics out there that are doubting whether Moses actually wrote the Pentateuch, okay? And you know, it's sad that there's all these people out there trying to shoot at that, but it's nothing new. You know, when they were going through the, when Israel was going through the wilderness, they all challenged Moses' authority, right? They all challenged it. They all fought it. They all had a problem with it. You know, how many times did Israel themselves fight Moses about that, right? So anyway, the point is that, you know, we're not surprised by it, okay? We're not surprised by it. And we can just kind of dig into things. So I would encourage you to watch that film. To you can rent that at Christian Cinema too, that documentary. And it looks to be pretty good. And it talks about, you know, the first one talked about the Exodus and the proof of Joseph. I thought it was really interesting. You know, so anyway, I would take a look at it and see, okay? That'd be a good idea. And then, you know, you can kind of look around. Now, let's talk about some other news here real quick. We saw in the news Notre Dame, right? The Christian world is shocked with Notre Dame. And already you have people coming out. Everything's a false flag. Nothing really burned. Or it was this, or it was that, or it was this. Well, I think it really burned, okay? I'm not going to get into that. You know, I'm not gonna get into that. But the point is that yes, it burned. Okay, but should Christians be sad about that? Not really. We should be sad if anybody got killed. We should be sad if any of those other things like that. But we shouldn't be really sad if something like that burns. And here's the reason why. Okay, here's the reason why. Okay. The reason why is because if you just look at those gargoyles that are up at the top, you know what spirit reigns over that place. And it is creepy. I looked at those last night. Okay. I looked at those gargoyles last night and did a little bit of research on those. And I'm not going to really talk about that today or anything, but because I don't want to waste a lot of time on that. But let me just say to you that those gargoyles were spooky. You know, Carl, there's one thing that you have to understand, though. The knee-jerk reaction of everybody in the truth movement is to say that everything is a false flag. Sometimes stuff happens. I mean, it just does. You know, but, and people get on this, everything's a false flag, and pretty soon you're doing Illuminati blood sacrifice videos exposed, like every second of the day. That's all you're talking about, and you thrive off that. So anyway, it's a caution to people not to jump to absolute conclusions about everything and just run with it. Anyway, the point is this, is that that place, you know, that place, Christians were killed there. That place is 800 years old. They were probably burning Christians there. You understand that? When they didn't submit to Rome, I bet you some Baptists, some Anabaptists, some others were burnt there and killed there and destroyed there. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So I don't feel bad about it. I don't feel bad about it. In that sense, you know, anyway, so it's just, it's materialism. It's all it is. It's brick and mortar. That's all it is. Okay. So we don't, you know, who knows how they say it started in the attic. The fire did. It started up in the attic and that's what happened. You know, but who knows? I wouldn't surprise me if somebody started on fire. The Catholic Church wants to reinvent itself. And that's exactly what they're doing. So anyway, that's what they're doing. They're reinventing themselves. Dr. Murphy, you're right. You're not supposed to have icons and imagery. It's wicked, you know? So bowing down to them. That's not like a picture, but bowing down to them, and especially little hybrid demons that they had. Creepy hybrids everywhere. anyway, so it's something that should be avoided. It's something that should be, they should break down those images, the Bible says. So it does take worship away from God. That's absolutely true. So anyway, but these people exalt that. These people are like lifting that up. These people are excited about that, that, you know, and sad about that. Yeah, one of them is eating a human soul. That's what one of them is doing, one of those gargoyles up there. And that's what they did, didn't they? They hunt for the precious life, the Bible says. Rome is the strange woman, okay? Rome is the strange woman that hunts for the precious life. See that? The strange woman in the Bible is an actual woman, and it's actually a false religion. It's both. And they hunt for the strange life. Leno Paul is here. What's up, Leno Paul? Anyway, so that's exactly what Rome does. If you read Proverbs 7, you can liken it to a whore, a strange woman, and a false religion, and how she acts. Okay? So, by the way, I think a lot of it is to start a war with Muslims. I think there's something there with that. But anyway, there's a lot. Anyway, so read Proverbs 7 and you'll kind of get the context of the strange woman in Rome, because that's exactly what it is. Nothing but a strange woman. That's all it is. So anyway, so enough about that, really. I don't want to get into that too far. The gargoyles, one only needs to take a look at those gargoyles, and they can see. Yeah, so, you know, one only needs to look at those to see what's really going on. So the spirit, you know, it's like the spirit that like hovers over them. You know, we see it in Washington, D.C., the same thing. You know, we see the same thing in D.C. Hold on. Yeah. There we go. We see the same thing in D.C. all the time with the statues and the pictures and everything that are outside of there. Yeah. And there's a spirit. There's a spirit that kind of reigns over that. And that pictures that. I mean, you look at the Vatican, the same thing. By the way, those gargoyles are on Zeus's temple too. If you look in Zeus's temple, Zeus has those gargoyles too. Same thing. Same spirit. You know? Jacob, I'm absolutely sure they had to do with them. I can absolutely believe, not sure, but I can believe that they had a lot to do with the massacre of the Huguenots. Absolutely. Absolutely can believe that. So it's sad, though. But also there's another side to this that I want you to understand, though. There are good people over there in Paris. There are good people over there that they see that as like a cultural thing in their culture, and they're seeing Islam and other things destroy their culture before their eyes, and people, Muslims, laughing about it and everything else. So there's some things that go into that, okay? There's some internal battles and wars, but the Pope is actually pushing all that, okay? He's actually pushing that. Kissing the Muslims and everything else. So, you know, you got to understand that there's a game plan there. There's a game plan to merge the religions together. That's what's going on. Okay. Anyway, so, you know, those are basically the current events of things. And, yeah, it doesn't surprise me. Obama he's Antichrist to the core. He's not the Antichrist. But he is Antichrist to the core. Anyway, so, all right. Now we are going to move on, and we're going to talk about our subject for today here, the study that I put together here that I want to talk to you about. So we're going to switch gears here. So I want you to put on now you're thinking caps here, okay? Get your King James Bible out. Get your Bible out and turn to Revelation chapter 13. All right? Revelation chapter 13. Come on now, get your Bible out. Don't be lying. Don't be just sitting there listening now. Get your Bible out. I can't hear the pages turning. Make sure you're really doing that. Now, maybe if you're driving, don't do that, okay? You might be listening while you're driving. Don't drive a semi and pull that out, okay? All right, that's right, Andrea. I caught you, didn't I? You weren't really taking your Bible out. Okay, Dr. Murphy's painting. All right, we'll just keep listening then, Dr. Murphy. That's fine. We'll let you listen. We'll accept that today. But I want to talk to you about something that as I was studying in Deuteronomy, okay, as I was in Deuteronomy, in fact, if you have a ribbon in your Bible, or you can take your finger, I want you to go to Deuteronomy chapter 4. I was, the other day, last week, I was doing my regular devotions, and I came to Deuteronomy chapter 4, all right? And I started to see some things in Deuteronomy chapter 4, and I cross-referenced them to Deuteronomy or to Revelation chapter 13. And it was very interesting to me, the things that pulled up and the lessons that were there. Now, I am one that is under the persuasion that in the end times, Israel is going to have something to do with the end times as a nation. They are going to be, they are antichrist to the core, okay? I'm not a labor Zionist, okay? I'm not foolish with that. I understand what's going on with Israel. I also understand what directions Paul gave, okay? But I want you to focus not only just on Israel, but I want you to focus on the lessons and the warnings. These things were written for our admonition, okay? And there's something coming over the whole world. And there's a power that's coming over the whole world. And I want to talk to you about that power. Okay? I want to talk to you about the power of the Antichrist, what power he's going to have. And can you hear me okay? I hope you can anyway. It wouldn't surprise me. I've had a lot of these mess up on me when I was preaching and everything, but okay, anyway, hopefully you can hear me. Okay, Andrea can hear me. All right, Moon Pie can hear me. I can't say Moon Pie. Do you have another name? Come on, don't make me call you Moon Pie. That just sounds weird. All right, I gotta keep a straight face here, and you're making me call you Moon Pie. I'm just giving you a hard time. I'm all right. I can't call you Cookie either. Do you have any other name that I can call you? My wife doesn't let me call women Cookie, okay? Oh. Anyway, and she's on here watching too. Oh, no. Anyway, all right. No Moon Pie is a cookie. Oh, well, I know Moon Pie. Well, I didn't know that, I guess. All right. I don't know what to call you. Anyway, I'm going to keep going because it just makes me laugh. Anyway, yes, Moon Pie is a cookie, I think. I think I remember those. Were those like with marshmallows and were they round and chocolate? Is that what they were? And then there was marshmallow on the inside of those? Huh? Am I right? I am right. All right. Yeah, don't worry about Steven Anderson. Those kind of guys all flush out. The toilet flushes and then it's over. It's going to happen. It'll happen. Anyway, okay. Deuteronomy. Whoa. Phone calls. Look, I better shut my phone off here. There we go. All right. Shut that off. All right, shut this off. Now I'm going to get started. I'm having a good day, Rebecca. I am. I'm going to get started right now. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Okay, get your Bibles ready. Get going here. Deuteronomy chapter 4. I think that's where it was. Yep, verse number 10. He said, "Especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, Gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. And ye came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire under the midst of heaven, with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. Ye heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude, only ye heard a voice." So you saw no similitude. Why is that important? You're going to hear that word again, and you're going to be told that again, that they saw no similitude. Okay? So you have to remember that. All right? That they saw nothing. They saw nothing. All right? And there's a reason for that, because they were not supposed to see God. They were not supposed to make an image of God. They were not supposed to see God like that. They were not in their flesh, and they weren't supposed, because if they would have saw him, listen to what they would have done. Who knows? Okay. All right. I'm going to give you a chance to answer this. The first one that gets the right answer gets the right answer. Okay. Are you ready? Here's the question. Stay focused now. Follow me along here. I'm going to keep following my outline, and I'll ignore what you're doing there, but that's right. So they didn't make an idol of him. So they didn't make an idol of him. They weren't, because if you'd have saw a picture of him, then you would have made an idol of him and said, man, I want to see that again. Okay, so God said, no, you saw no similitude. You only heard a voice. That is a study right there. Because when you start to go through, he talks about the voice of God a lot. There's a chapter in the Psalms that deals with the voice of God, the voice of the Lord, the voice of the Lord. Follow me along here, okay? We're going to keep going here. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude, only you heard a voice. And he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments. And he wrote them upon two tables of stone. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that you might do them in the land whither you go over to possess it. Now listen, here's what he said. Pay attention. Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves. Now this is an end times warning. It's a warning. Now there's lost people out there. You and I know, as Christians, if we're born again, we know we're not going to believe in an image that is given life. But there's those that are not saved yet. Those that will be saved during that time period, they need these instructions. Okay, follow me here. Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for ye saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire. What did they see? They saw the fire, and they heard the voice out of the fire. Hey, who else saw that? Moses. When Moses came to the burning bush, he saw no similitude. He saw the fire, and he heard the voice. That's what happened. When the cloud came over Christ, and God said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased," they saw no similitude of the Father. But he spake, they saw a voice. Understand? They heard a voice, excuse me, didn't see one. They heard a voice. But they saw no similitude. All right? Now, why? Why was that important? Here's why. Because man has a desire to create an image. It's in him to do that. All right? He says here why. Verse 16. I hope you have your King James Bible open. "Lest ye corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure." Any figure. Right? Any figure. Like Aaron did the golden calf. That's right, Dr. Murphy. That's right. Like Aaron did the golden calf. That's right. He wasn't supposed to do that. Okay, lest you corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female. But see, it's not just them. It's the end times implications. It's the end times implications. What's coming? Because Satan, which you're going to see, we're going to get to that. Okay, pay attention here. The likeness of any beast that is on the earth. You're going to hear Baphomet in this. You're going to see a picture of Baphomet. Are you ready? Listen up. The likeness of any beast that is on the earth. The likeness of any winged fowl that flyeth the air. All right? Pay attention. The likeness of any beast that is on the earth. The likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground. The likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth. And lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the host of heaven, shouldest be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all nations under the whole heaven. Listen, in the end, at the end times, we know what's going to happen. The stars are going to fall from heaven. Right? The stars are going to fall from heaven. The powers shall be shaken. The stars shall fall from heaven. The sun shall not give her light, and the moon shall be darkness, right? That's what's going to happen, right? But the Lord hath taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto him a people of inheritance, as you are this day. Okay, he says again in 23, take heed unto yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make you a graven image or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. So he says he's a jealous God, right? And a consuming fire, because God is going to consume all of it. This whole earth. He's going to melt it down. The elements of fervent heat. Why? Well, I'm going to show you one of the reasons why. He's going to cleanse it. But here's why. Because he's going to cleanse everything that Satan defiled. The heavens and the earth. He's going to cleanse them. Because Satan will have defiled all of it. Sin will have defiled all of it. Amen. All right. You ready? I'm going to give you a second. Are you back in Revelation chapter 13 yet? Are you back there yet? Go back to Revelation chapter 13. Now here's where it's going to get serious. Okay? Here's where it's going to get serious. All right? Here we go. Revelation chapter 13 is the end times. It's the culmination of the power of the beast. It's the merging together of the satanic trinity. Satan, the Antichrist, the beast. The power that they're going to be given is what we're going to talk about right now. Okay? All right? So let's go there. The first power I want to show you is in verse number 3. Well, let's read verse number 1 through 3. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. All right. So actually, technically, the first power that is given, the first power that is given is authority. The dragon, who's the dragon? Satan is the dragon. Satan is given, gives the Antichrist power. Now, where do we find that at? How do we know that for sure? Where's our second witness to that? 2 Thessalonians. All right. I hope you were ready for a Bible study, because I'm going to be doing a lot more of these with you, Lord willing. I'm going to try to do these 2 or 3 times a week, so I hope you're paying attention. All right. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 9. Even him who, that wicked that'll be revealed, the son of perdition, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Okay, so check it out. Here we go. Here it is. So he comes and he is given authority. What authority is he given? Okay. In order for you to understand the authority that Satan is given, go to Matthew chapter 4. You say, why would we go there? Because Matthew chapter 4 is the offer that was made to Christ. What was that offer that was made to Christ? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. He offered him power and authority and all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Right? The world. Now, who's going to accept that? Satan's son, the Antichrist. He is going to accept it. What Jesus rejected, he will have. Remember, Jesus said, no, that's where you're wrong. Asking Dr. Murphy, here's what you have to understand. The Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 calls Satan the god of this world, little G-O-D, the god of this world. He has been given dominion over this world because of man's fall. Okay? So that's what you have to understand. He's been given dominion over it. All right. So let's go back. Let's go back here and read this. Okay. So all power, signs, lying wonders, right? That's what's going to happen. That's what's going to be given. Okay. So that's the power and his seat and great authority. That's the same thing he offered Christ. Power, seat, and great authority. But it didn't work. Amen. Didn't work with Christ, but he will take it up. And remember what they said, what Jesus said, me you will not receive, but him that comes in his own name, you'll receive him. And they will. They will. The world will. Okay? Now, let's keep going here, okay? So that's the first power, all right? The second power is found in verse number 3. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. This is the power of healing. Now, I want to stop and ask you a question here. I want you to think about this for a minute and just kind of ponder this. The health industry and the holistic health industry, naturopathy, whatever you want to call it, all that has been filled with what? New Age. It has been filled with the New Age. Why? Because the Antichrist is going to come on the scene. And he's going to have power to heal. He's going to have that power. And he's going to do it through the power that was given him and the authority that was given him through Satan. Okay? That's what's going to happen. He's going to have that power to heal. Okay, why? All right? Think, please. Okay? Yes, Dr. Murphy, that's exactly right. Satan's original lie that we will not die. That's right. But here's the other thing. Man, I'm going to take this hat off. I don't care if my hair is messed up. Anyway, here's the other thing I want you to think about, okay? The other reason why. Who does the Antichrist have to mimic? Christ. So he's going to come with all sign, all power and signs and lying wonders. The power and the signs are real. The wonders are a lie. Okay? All right? Understand that. That's the goal. That's what's going on. Okay, follow me. Don't get distracted. I don't know who the Antichrist is. We don't know yet. I might do another study with you, though, on some interesting things in Scripture about the Antichrist. But I'll save that one for maybe at the end of the week. Let's see here. Let's go back. Okay, so that's number three, right? The power to heal. It matches the ministry of Christ. He's got to blaspheme that. Remember, his name is blasphemy. He has blasphemy on his forehead, right? Upon his heads are the name of blasphemy. All right? Next. More power that he has, okay? He has power in verse number 5 to continue 42 months. Okay? 42 months. Verse number 5. Well, let's go to, we'll read the rest of this. Verse 4. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given him to continue 42 months. All right, who knows why the 42 months are important? Any guesses? Any guesses? How long was Christ's ministry? How long was Christ's ministry? It was 42 months, 3.5 years. That's right. 3.5 years, give or take, right? 3.5 years. Why is that important? He's mimicking him. He's mocking him, right? That's the goal. That's what he's doing. He's mocking him. Anti is counterfeit. That's what it means. It also means counterfeit. Do you understand? Counterfeit Christ. Anti Christ. Okay? All right. So that's what he's doing there. So that's why he continues. Do you understand what that means? It means that in that 42 months, he is invincible and cannot be stopped. Right? Here's a kicker for you that'll make you think too. Remember, it's God that lets that happen. It's God that allows that power. We're told why in 2 Thessalonians, why God does that. Okay? We're told why God does that. Okay, let's keep going. Are you ready? Let's keep learning. All right, let's go to the next one here. Next is number 7. He has power to make war and to overcome. Okay? Verse 7, it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life, in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He is given power over all. Over all. Do you understand that? He is given power over all kindreds, tongues, nations, everyone. All of them. Both great and small, rich and poor, Doesn't matter. He's given that power. All right? I want you to understand that it's pretty deep. It gets pretty deep, okay? Because when you go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, even him who's coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Why? Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. They all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So then when we look at that, he has power to overcome. He has power to make war. He has power to even overcome the saints. What does that mean? That some are going to die. Some are going to die. Okay? But think about it this way. Is there any better way to go than fighting the Antichrist? I can't think of a better way. Preaching the Word of God and going out fighting the Antichrist, right? Is there anything more noble in the eyes of Christ? Any more blessedness of a martyrdom to than to be fighting the Antichrist and staying true to the Word of God and saying, "Go ahead, take my head, take it off." Right? Why? Because I'm going to glory, and the next time I see you, you're going down. Amen. Amen. So he's going to have power to overcome some saints. What do you think about that? But that ought not bring fear to you. Brenda, you ask a good question. Are we going to get our heads cut off? Well, if we do it right, we just might. We just might. I'll have some brethren that'll disagree with me. I'm not going to get into the post-trib, pre-trib thing. I don't want to get into that. I'm not going to fight that. I'm not afraid of that topic. I want you to understand that. I don't want to waste my time arguing with people over it. You know, it doesn't do any good. It doesn't help anybody. All right? Now listen, Brenda, I also want you to understand something. Okay? There's nothing wrong with you if you're afraid of that. All right? Anybody can be a tough guy and act like it wouldn't bother them. Okay? I'm not going to sit here and act like that wouldn't bother me to watch my children lose their head or watch my wife lose their head or me. All right? It's easy to talk about, but remember this one thing. That fear is there now because you don't need that dying grace. But if you're in Christ, at that time, he'll give you dying grace. He will. All the martyrs speak of the same thing. They were not brave men and women that were valiant. Do you understand that? They weren't. Okay? They were just souls that trusted the Lord, and God took care of them, and he'll take care of you the same way. All right? So don't fear that, okay? Don't be afraid of that. God will take care of you. All right? Everybody can sound brave before it happens. You know, but a healthy fear and an understanding of, you know, man, that could happen to me. That's a sober mind. There's nothing wrong with that. That's sobriety. That's saying, man, I mean, you and I ought to be praying every day. You and I ought to be praying every day that we stay faithful to God. Amen? That God will keep us faithful. Because God preserves his saints. Amen? All right? So just remember that. Okay, let's move on here. Let's keep going. Let's see. Here's the next one that I found very interesting. And we can, listen, I could spend days on each one of these, but we're not going to, obviously. Next, power to control the elements. Verse number 13. Well, let's go back. It says, "And beheld, I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. He exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell them to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed." So there was power to cause them to worship the image, which I'm going to get to, by the way. But we can talk about that first. They have power. He'll have power to cause them. Is that to force them? No, it's to persuade them. Do you understand? To cause them is like to persuade them. Remember, it's the power of delusion. So he, just like the Bible says, the Proverbs, in Proverbs 7, that woman, what did she do? She causeth him with her lips. She persuaded him with her lips. She talked him into it. She didn't force him. She forced him with her lips. Right? Same way, that's what he's going to do. He's going to cause them through the power of delusion. All right? So he's gonna do that. That's the power of deception, the power of delusion, the power to cause them, okay, to do something. But here it is. He causes them to worship the beast, which causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. So he causes them to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Right? And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. That's the next power. Power over the elements. He's going to have power over the elements. Remember Elijah prayed to God and called down that fire on the mount and burned up Baal and everything else? He's going to do the same thing. And they're going to think he's God. They're going to think that false prophet is God. Or that's the false trinity. They're going to think that's God. That the Antichrist is God because of that. It's that fire from heaven, elemental witchcraft. That's right, Leno. That's exactly what it's going to be. Control of the elements. The fifth element. Remember that? All right? So he's going to have power to do that. Look what it says next. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. He's going to have power to cause them to make an image of the beast. Now, here's where we see back in Deuteronomy where they were warned, don't you make an image of God. And don't you make an image. And don't you bow down and worship that image. Don't you do that. That's what he warned. Moses, the law. Right? He told them that. Don't do that. And they did it anyway. Or they're going to do it anyway, excuse me. Well, they did it back with the calf too, but they're going to do it anyway. They're going to do it. They're going to bow down. They're going to make the image. All right? That's what they're going to do. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image of the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. Now, verse number 15, the next power. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. He's going to give life unto that image. He's going to make it sentient. He's going to give it life. AI, that's right. And that's what AI is only missing. One thing. The power of Satan to make them alive. That's what they're missing. That's what they're waiting on. They know they're waiting for something. to make these things sentient or alive. They know they are. Okay? They know that's what they're doing. Okay? And here's what it says here. He had power to give life out of the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. He has that power. And that's what he's going to do. And we're seeing the beginning of that right now with these androids, these AIs that are coming online. And they're asking to be treated like humans. And they're starting these AI foundations of life rights junk. Right? That's what they're starting. That's what they're doing. Why? Because it's leading up to the end times. There's three or four things that have to do with this. Yep, D-Wave computers, that's right. And let's see, D-Wave computers. That's one of them. AI. Genetic modifications. CRISPR. All of it. The machines are listening. Amazon has admitted that their machines, and Google, that their machines are listening. Siri, all of them. They're listening. Right? That's what they're doing. They're listening. They're gathering information. It's the way that Alexa, too. That's right. It's the way that all of them around the world are going to be able to collect the information into one. Why? Because Satan can't be everywhere. Okay, I'll save that. I'll save that and talk about those attributes of the end times Antichrist, and maybe I'll do something on that. And then I'll go through those, how they mock, how he's going to mock or counterfeit the attributes of God. Maybe I'll save that. I'll save that for another one. That's another one. I preached a long series on the Antichrist, and this will be a little different. But I might do a series on the Antichrist and end times on here. You know, maybe do that. Maybe that'll be a blessing to some folks on here. I'll do a couple of them a week, maybe. Let's see. Power to cause them to make an image. Okay, that's what he has. And power to give life unto the image. So we also see that all of this is the coming of the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, okay? So we know what the power is. We can see it in Revelation 13, okay? We can see where it's headed, all right? So think about those things, and we'll pick up more on that in another broadcast. We'll add to it later, okay? But at least it gives you a good understanding of exactly what's going on with that. A beginning understanding, anyway, of the power that's there. And then you link it to the times that we live in and see where it's all heading, the direction that it's heading in. Okay? And so think about those things. All right. Does anybody have any questions right now? I'll do a little bit of Q&A here before I get off of here. Then I'll take off here. But does anybody have any? I don't know what smart dust is. I guess I've never looked into that. We got a lot of folks on here. We have 80 people on here. Praise the Lord. That's pretty cool. Oh, Joey, you missed it. Yeah, that's pretty neat. 80 people. That's the most I think I've ever had on here at a time. I mean, we get a lot of people listen afterwards, but I didn't realize that. Have you ever looked at the logos of Starbucks and Amazon? Yeah, they're all wicked as hell. Every single one of them are. Oh, nanotechnology. Okay, I know what that is. Yeah, sort of. I can understand that. Yep. What do you think about 5G? I actually haven't looked into 5G, but from what I'm hearing, it's probably not that great. Probably really bad for us. Please do these more pass through. Okay. Yeah. You know what? if the Lord allows, I definitely will. Did you hear Microsoft was able to store megabytes onto DNA? I did hear about that, I think, Mike. I believe I did hear about that, actually. And I'm going to be adding some of that into these Antichrist messages or broadcasts, because there's such new things every day that come up. And we need to cover that. Yeah. I left the chat on, and I kind of interact with it. There's a lot of people that don't, you know, but I don't know. I feel like I can still teach you guys and still kind of interact with you a little bit. If I want to teach something, I teach through it, and then I can still kind of interact. Yeah, I don't know if I can do that three times a week. I don't know. I mean, I have plenty of information to do that. I just don't know if I have all the time to do it. It does take some time and all that. But I like the Bible studies, definitely. Listening but driving. Okay. Yeah, that's good. It's good. This is the first time Leno's been on here. Oh, yeah, Utah, the one about famous people that they said deathbed stories of dying. Yeah. Dying testimonies of the saved and unsaved. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Those are powerful. They really are. They are powerful for sure. Quetzalcoatl, America, land of the feathered spirits. Do you know where God is going to lead all his people to? Well, to be with him. That's where he's going to lead them all to. To dwell with him forever. To the New Jerusalem. Eventually. That's where all his people are going to end up. Danny Callahan, I've heard of you before. Have you emailed me before? Your name looks familiar. Maybe you've just commented on some things. But your name does look familiar. Hot Bombs 99. I think I remember you too, obviously. Okay. Yep. Any thought on the Notre Dame fire? Well, I talked about it earlier. Was it set on purpose? I have no proof of that. Should we mourn about it? No. I thank God nobody got hurt. That's all that matters. You know, first time here, came across your flood video. And so, oh, good. I'm glad you listened to the flood video. I want to do more with the pre-flood world. I just have to have time to do it and the leading of the Lord to go back in that direction. And I'm just now starting to pick up things again from a long time ago. So we'll be doing more, Lord willing. Please do a thing on how the apostles died. Oh. Yeah, yeah, Susie, I understand. I mean, I feel bad because, yeah, things got burned down. I'm not, like, rejoicing in, like, you know, people's demise or anything. You know what I mean? Or the demise of Paris or whatever. It's just, I know that building's a wicked place. I watched about two or three of your... Sealand a day. Oh, must be videos a day. Okay. Yeah, good. Amen. They tried to build the third temple around 360 AD and fire erupted from the earth as a cornerstone was laid. They didn't learn from the past mistakes very well. Yeah, that's probably true. When are you going to pick up on the Jehovah's Witness series again? Well, I'm not sure. I'm really not. I actually enjoyed doing that series. I'm not finished with it. I am like a to-be-continued 80s child. Everybody loves a sequel. I have so many series that are open out there that they never really end. I just stop them for a while and then pick them back up again. Mike, I'm not sure. I'd have to look at a few different things about Peter being crucified upside down or whatever. I don't know that for sure. I don't remember what I said back then, but it was a while ago. And you know, I don't know. Obviously none of us were there and there's no biblical account. I could look at what it says that Peter was going to go, whether he wouldn't and things like that. But when it comes to historical records, it doesn't do us a whole lot of good to argue about it because we're basing it off pure history the best we can. So we're trying to tell how the apostles died as best we can. You know, so if I was wrong about that, that's okay. You know, if I was wrong about that, that's okay. You know, that's right, Susie. Anybody can be saved by the grace of God. Amen. So yeah, Mike, I wouldn't argue about it. I mean, I could be wrong about it. I don't remember what I said. So that's been 3 or 4 years ago. At least 4 years ago from what I remember. So I could look at all the accounts, but just because it's in a Catholic book doesn't mean it's wrong. Catholics were meticulous on their history of a lot of things. Okay. So you have to be careful about, there's things you can find in Catholic books. For instance, I could find quotes that Jesuits made about Baptists that they were killing from those books that give me information. You know what I mean? That I don't have, you know what I mean? So I otherwise wouldn't have. So we can't disregard that at all. You know, the history of that, because a lot of times they bragged about them killing people and how they did it. So anyway, so that's just something that you can think about when we're researching history and all that good stuff. We got to be careful about that. Just there's a lot of things there, but anyway. Yeah, it's not something I'd go to bat for and fight over. If it's not in the Bible, I really can't fight that hard on it. I can do my best to make an educated guess at it, you know, and historically there's, you know, that's kind of what we do in some of those things. So Mecca is also a city on seven hills on the Red Sea. You know, I have a lot of people that get into arguments with me about Rome versus Jerusalem versus all of the seven hills and all of that. My understanding is developing more and more as I study and as I hear different things and as I compare them. And we definitely know this: Iraq, Rome, Israel are all going to have something to do, and probably America, with Babylon's spirit in the end times. Okay? So it's definitely there. We know that for sure. So it's just, and there's various disagreements about that, but there's going to be. So I definitely think that people fight over some of the smaller things too much. And then we create enemies with each other over things that we don't really have to, you know, we don't really have to. So we got to be careful, but it's like pre-trib, post-trib, making enemies out of each other over that is ridiculous. Can you help me understand that? What do you want me to help you understand? I didn't see it. Sometimes it's hard for me to grasp. God knows every single person on earth. Can you help me on that? Oh, well, here's the thing you have to understand. You have to study the attributes of God to know that God knows everything. And to understand that, you have to understand eternity a little bit better, okay? So think about eternity instead of time. In time, we are subject, okay, to this dimension and to where we are. God dwells in eternity above time. Nothing occurs to God, but everything is all at once to God. Do you understand that? No, that's okay. You don't have to understand it to trust God, because it's hard to understand. But you have to grasp eternity, okay? And once you grasp eternity, then you can better understand God's attributes. Because he's eternal, he's all-knowing, okay? And And because he's eternal, he's immutable. He doesn't change. Okay? So all of it, most of that is based on his, the eternalness of God. All right? But here's the thing. Don't spend too much time focusing on things that you can't understand. Because God never really tells us to grasp those things that much. What he tells us to do is believe him. Okay? That's what he tells us to do. Just believe him. And take hold of the things you can't understand. And what are those? Christ. Christ is how we understand God. If you will study Christ, you will be close to the Father and understand God. Because God hath in these last times spoken to us by his Son, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Okay? That means the first begotten of the dead. That's what that means. He's the head of his race. As Adam was the head of his race, Christ is the head of his race, the begotten from the dead. All right? So if you focus on that and Christ and learning Christ, then the other things will come to you. You'll be able to understand them. You know what I mean? That's what'll happen. You'll be better that way. We need hard preaching keepers at home here in England. My wife is one of few in our area and needs encouragement. Yeah, Peter, I understand that. And that's something that I've preached a lot about. And it's gotten me in trouble. A lot of women don't like that. A lot of Jezebels attack me over that. And a lot of men don't like that because a lot of pastors don't like that because their wives are bringing home the bacon. And then I become enemy number one. But they never attack me for that doctrine. They always attack me for something else, but then it comes kind of around as to what it is. Anyway, that's okay. We don't worry about that. Islam is all idolatry and more the political system than a religion. The Vatican did create Islam, and the Pharisees there somewhat joining with them. Well, that as well, not good. That's true. How old was the world when the Great Flood occurred? 2,000 years old, I believe. Because the flood was 4,400 years ago, so it's about 1,600 years old, I believe, somewhere around there. Yep. It should be about right. Yeah, there is no such thing as a female pastor. That's a Jezebel that's usurping authority. That God's going to burn in a bed. That's what he said. I didn't write it. I just preach it. I believe it. All right. Let's see. Anything else here today? Let's see. Hey, Jody Hammond. I know who you are. Let's see. I don't think I missed anybody on here that was trying to tell me something. Everybody's always trying to tell me something. Let's see. I don't think so. There are no examples of women pastors in the Bible. That's true. And there are no examples of women apostles in the Bible. And there are no examples of women writers of the Bible. I know. Women can be judges, though, Deborah. No. That was to a shame of Israel. That wasn't an example or a model to follow. What is the theme of Judges? And every man did that which was right in his own eyes. It doesn't mean that God wanted it that way. God says children are their oppressors and women rule over them. That's not God's example. That was a shame to Israel, because there was not a man among them that did what they were supposed to do. Anyway, so you can go back and listen to that. Wow. God will deal with your blasphemy someday. It's very sad. Very sad. What about Miriam, who helped lead the Exodus? Miriam tried to usurp authority over a man, and what happened to her? She got leprosy and kicked outside of the camp for 7 days. Yeah, she got leprosy and kicked outside of the camp for 7 days. So, you know, that's against God's order. And, yep, authorized Mike got a little quick with the button there, but that's okay, Susie. He didn't do it on purpose. anyway, but that's what happened. Where does it say women pastors will burn? Revelation, Jezebel. Thou sufferest that woman Jezebel to seduce my servants to sin. Let's go to the scripture. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. Well, Becca, I mean, women's roles are found in Titus chapter 2. They are found all the way back in Genesis. I've got a lot of series on that. That's a really long discussion. But in essence, they're to be subject to their husbands. Their role is to be a keeper at home, chaste, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. They're to love their children, to love their husbands. So, I mean, there's a lot to that. Jim, Mike has an itchy trigger finger. I missed the guy. Bummer. Okay, yeah, bear children, no birth control. That's right. So then, is women's Bible studies not right? Well, I mean, the Bible says elder women are to teach the younger women. They teach it by example. And I don't necessarily think it's evil for mothers to sit around if they were all together and talk about the Word of God. You don't see the same organized women's Bible studies that goes on in a lot of churches today. And most of the time, a lot of them are teaching feminism. You know, a lot of them are teaching feminism. So I don't recommend that. We don't do that here. But elder women here do teach the younger women. They do. You know? So it happens for sure. They help teach and by example and help and guidance and all that kind of stuff. Cheryl says, my sister's a homosexual who married a woman and now has ordained herself a pastor. And she had the nerve to rename herself Moses. Disgusting. She never listens to anything that I tell her. Well, that's because she's a Jezebel. And she's got a spirit in her, and she's lost. Carolyn, are you really coming on my thread defending women pastors? Is that seriously what you're doing? Because all it does is reveal to you is that you don't know the scriptures at all. You've never read the scriptures, and nobody is saying that God's going to take them now and take a bed and light it on fire in front of you and burn them. But they're going to die and go to hell because they're lost and they're liars. That's what it says. I know some female pastors that live that let live their children to starve. They are always in the church. Some pastors almost slave them too. I don't know what that means, but that's terrible. Feminism is of the devil. That's absolutely right. I just came out of stage 3 breast cancer. Wow. That is why she doesn't, that Cheryl, that is why your sister doesn't love you, because she has a devil in her. Homosexuals and sodomites, they have devils in them. Anyway, that's sad. New Antichrist info, watch on my channel, Antichrist. God bless you all. Wow. Homosexuality and feminism are attacks on the family. That's true. Should we still be friends with homosexuals? I don't have any friends that are homosexuals. I really don't understand how you could have friends with them or be friends with them. Like, what do you talk about? Like, I can't even stomach to be around them. But I don't know what, I mean, maybe it's different for women. I don't know. But I don't know. I mean, the only thing I could think of is, no, I don't want you perverting my kids. You know, that's what I would do. You know, so I wouldn't want to run my kids. Well, we were friends for 9 years. We were friends for 9 years, and then I found out she was in love with me. Whoa. Well, I definitely wouldn't be friends with her. I'd be getting away from her. Wow, one of your best friends, Andrea, was a lesbian? What is up with that? Yep. Wow. Yeah, no, stay away from them. They have a spirit about them. They have a wicked spirit about them, and you have no reason to be around them for sure. The best thing you can do is stay away from them for sure. You know, best to stay away from them for sure. Let's see. My twin brother and sister were both gay. Now they're both dead. Wow. Maria says, I see a lot of rebellion in women these days among so-called Christians. I'm new to your channel. We are called to be peculiar people set apart from the world. Amen. Amen. But, yep. Yep, that's right. That's right. Look at the fruit of it. It's wicked as hell. That's right. Yep, that's right. It's bad. It's bad stuff. For sure. I just can't be around that madness. Says Eli, before long, they try to come on you. Yeah, I've never been around any of them. I have a family member that is homosexual, and I haven't had any contact with them for a couple years now, with the exception of sending them messages in scriptural periodically. Yep, Becca, that's a sad thing. It's very hard to deal with. Apparently, early members of the Nazis were sodomites, but eventually the Nazis began persecution of the sodomites. The Pink Triangle was put on the homosexual death camp prison. Cragen, I'm going to tell you something right now. The guys on the upper level of that neo-Nazi party are homos. I'm going to tell you that right now. They are. They are. They are. They are. All those people are. All those weird, they're Luciferians all at the top. That's just what they are. They serve Lucifer. What's the dates of the Missouri conference? Oh, The 8th through the 10th. May 8th through the 10th. I have another question for you. If you were coming into a relationship with Jesus and waiting to live according to the Bible, but your husband is not living according to God's word, what do you do? Well, you stay with him and try to be a good example and trust the Lord and pray for him and be a good wife, be a godly wife. You know, that's exactly what God wants you to do, and wait for the Lord to change his heart. That's all you can do. Amen. That's it. That's all you can do. And love him. And pray for him. And ask others to pray for him. Right? And be faithful. Be faithful. That's what I would do. All right. Anyway, so I guess I'm going to get off here. We've been on here an hour and a half. And had a good time today. So it was a blessing and got to teach you some good stuff, and we'll be teaching you more as time goes on here. We'll add some more, maybe Thursday afternoon Friday. No, I'm leaving Friday. I won't be here. So I won't be able to do anything Friday. So maybe I don't know if I can do it Thursday either. I might not be able to do it Thursday either. I'm leaving. Well, maybe Thursday afternoon I'm leaving. So. Going out of town for a day or two. So maybe that might work. Maybe Thursday before I leave. Thank you, Samuel. I appreciate that. And Cragen, I'm going to tell you, you weren't on the upper echelon of that group. And I'm going to tell you something. A lot of those groups are in prison, and a lot of those neo-Nazi camps are in prisons. And I'm going to tell you something. They ain't choir boys. Those upper echelons of all those groups, it's part of their Luciferian. I don't know, man. I don't know. Some of those upper people in those groups, I don't know. A lot of those people run sex cults and everything else up there, and they're perverts and they'll do whatever. But I could be wrong, but I don't know. That a lot of those gangs are in prisons. A lot of those gangs are ran in prison. You know, how about a video on Mormonism? Have you ever heard of Lee and Kathy Baker, who were former Mormons and they came to the Lord? No, I don't know who they are. Lori, I don't know who they are, but I have a ton of videos on Mormonism. I've got like 7 sermons on Mormonism or something like that. So anyway, I'll let you guys go now. But it is what some of us were. We are made new in Christ. Amen. That's right. Anybody can be saved from any sins. Absolutely. Christ's power is. Yep. Homosexuality is a cult worship. That's right. And anyway, so, but Craig and I could be wrong. I don't know, but I know in prison, all those groups are pretty much homos. So they run a trafficking ring, and they do it to show their authority. Anyway, so, but pray for us, pray for our ministry, and continue to pray that the Lord would bless us as we continue to do more for him and try to help others out there and get the gospel out there to other people, and pray for the upcoming meeting that I have at Pastor Hoggard's. Pray for that to go well. Those will be live streamed, by the way, on Pastor Mike's channel. So thank you all for being here, and have a good night.